From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. A massive national series of actions this weekend are taking aim at immigrant detention centers in the U.S. Thousands of immigrants are being held in various facilities around the country, many of them run by for-profit corporations. Conditions inside some of the detention centers are so severe that they have been dubbed concentration camps. Organizing under the banner of Close the Camps, a broad coalition of immigrant rights, civil rights, anti-racist, and social justice organizations are gathering this weekend in various metropolitan areas, including Newark, New Jersey, San Antonio, Texas, and Los Angeles, California. Joining me to discuss these actions is Jenny Villegas Garcia, organizer with the Central American Resource Center, or CARESEN, and Tanya Kane Parry, a professor of theater at Cal State LA and a member of Al Otro Lado. Welcome to the program, Jenny and Tanya.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
So, Jenny, let me start with you. Can you begin by putting this into context? When you say close the camps, what camps are you referring to and why should they be closed?
Well, we've heard right over the past few months on the news and various news outlets about these camps that are opening up across the border. And we saw these camps open up.
So when you say camps, you mean literally the tent encampments?
Yes, the tent encampments that were opening up along the border. And this was to detain the large influx of refugees that were showing up at our southern border. But when we say camps, we mean generally the ICE prisons and detention centers across the country that we know are detaining and criminalizing immigrant refugee communities. And so it's a very broad way of saying that we want any form of incarceration machine to close down. Because what is happening is that individuals who are showing up at the southern border, who are fleeing persecution, who are fleeing just ridiculous amounts of violence and poverty, and that are showing up to seek refuge, are being denied, are being criminalized, and are being placed in these detention centers where corporations are profiting every day off of those individuals and off of those families. And as you mentioned, we know the conditions in these camps and in these detention centers are disgusting. There's human rights violations and atrocities happening every day. We know of a number of children and individuals who have died due to medical neglect, due to abuse from ICE officials. And we know that those numbers are not real numbers, right? We know that a lot of these deaths go unreported. We've heard from folks who are detained there that every year folks commit suicide in those detention centers, folks die in those detention centers, and we don't hear about those facts, right? Because these corporations aren't mandated to report those statistics to the public.
So there's not that much information known about how many people are being detained, but I'm looking at one Associated Press article recently showing that so right now there are 51,000 people being held nationally. And new centers are being opened up, all the time, including in parts of the country you might not expect. For example, rural Louisiana, there's a detention center that's holding 8,000 migrants in Winfield, Louisiana. Tanya, how out of sight and even out of the public consciousness are these detention centers?
Well, that's the purpose, right? So, we were just talking right before this interview about how Louisiana added 11,000 new beds in these remote communities. So the remoteness is the purpose. Let's be very clear what this is. This is a systematic government program to warehouse human beings using our tax dollars to go to the profits of privately run companies who are making money off of human trafficking. None of these people are criminals. Understand that the laws of this country, international treaties and domestic laws, guarantee the right to seek asylum. This administration has decided to make that a criminal act and use that to then house people and then fund privately run concentration camps. And let's be clear about that word. The point is to keep them out of sight, out of access, let them die, and make money off of that. This is a profit-making machine, and those companies then contribute to the campaigns of the government officials who are behind this.
Right. So these people do not have to be detained in the first place. When they are detained, the longer they are detained, the more the federal government pays to these the corporations that run these detention centers to detain them. And you're saying then these companies turn around and make campaign contributions to keep that that revenue flowing at the expense of taxpayers and, of course, at the expense of the well-being of these people who really haven't committed any crime, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Just since Trump went into office, the budget for DHS has increased exponentially every year. And that money is being used not only for border security and militarization, but also for these new detention centers. So we just heard that in Mississippi and Louisiana in the past 9 months, there have been nine new detention facilities and 11,000 new beds. And a majority of these people, I just got off the phone actually this morning with a woman who's detained in one of these centers that's not a detention center. It's actually a state prison. And so there are no ICE officials or immigration judges or court to help her navigate that system. And so folks that are in there are just being held indefinitely with no information on how to move their case along, how to be released, how to even go through the process, the legal process of seeking asylum, because they're being held in these super remote areas where there's no access to legal resources or legal advocacy either.
Is the tent court that opened near the Texas border part of what you both are protesting as well? We know that there's a facility now where immigration judges are basically being brought in by video stream, and detainees and immigrants who are going through their proceedings are, you know, having their cases adjudicated at rapid fire pace. Most of them don't have representation. Is that, do you see that part of the as part of the problem as well?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different components, right? One other thing that this administration has been doing is that it's been changing the asylum law and making it basically discarding years and years of asylum practice that internationally and domestically we have abided by. And so one of these policies that has changed is the Remain in Mexico policy, which basically means that when folks are turning themselves in legally at the port of entry to ask for asylum, some of those individuals are being returned to Mexico to fight their cases in Mexico. And so what the U.S. government is saying is, yes, you have a case. We know you fear persecution. We know you might die if you return back to your home country, but we're not going to allow you to fight your case in the United States. We're going to send you back to Mexico. And when you have a court hearing, we'll bring you to this tent court where you'll see a judge, sometimes via Skype, sometimes we'll have an interpreter, sometimes we won't. And you're going to have to fight your case like that. And while you're waiting, you're going to have to stay in any border city in Mexico, which we know most of the time are cities that are very dangerous for these migrants.
Let's be clear. This is a purposeful, systematic violation of human rights. This is breaking our own policies and our own laws. This is to keep Black and Brown and Indigenous people out of our country who have the legal right to seek refuge. And the government is using every administrative trick to deny people that right.
So let's talk about what's happening this weekend, at least the Los Angeles event that the two of you are involved in and helping to organize is taking place on Saturday. But this is considered, quote, Columbus Day weekend. Many cities around the country have named Monday or renamed Monday Indigenous Peoples Day. What is happening in Los Angeles and in other cities around the country under the banner of Close the Camps? Jenny?
Well, we're going to be taking the streets, which is something super important, especially right now when we're seeing all of these new horrific anti-immigrant policies, when we're seeing all of these new detention centers and detention beds open up, when we're seeing the constant attacks on immigrants and refugees. It is so important for us to put our bodies on the line and to make sure that we resist against those things that are happening, that we don't let them become normalized, because it is not normal and it is not okay. And so this Saturday, we're going to be having a huge protest here in Los Angeles to bring more attention to the issue. And it's a protest that's in collaboration with a large number of organizations and a large coalition of folks.
There's going to be, it starts this Saturday at 11 a.m. at Grand Park at Broadway. We have
And this is for people in Southern California who can get to Grand Park.
Exactly. Not far from public transportation. And we have over 45 groups, organizations, immigrant rights groups, unions, activist groups representing a wide part of the community being affected here and in solidarity with this call for action to close the camps. There'll be speakers. We'll take a march to the sheriff's office, and there'll be more speakers there. And then we're going to go to the detention center, and there'll be more speakers there.
So when you go to the detention center, what do you expect to do? And I know that there have been previous actions similar to this one where activists, both in Los Angeles and in other parts of the country, have tried to give those being held inside a sense that they are not forgotten, that there is solidarity on the outside. Is that something that is going to happen on Saturday as well?
Yes, that's the most powerful part of the action. And so in Los Angeles, we have a Metropolitan Detention Center. It's a process center. So the folks that are being detained there either just got picked up from ICE and will be either transferred over to another long-term detention facility or deported, or they're folks who are about to be released. And so for a lot of the individuals in there who are about to face deportation, it is really meaningful to have solidarity and to hear folks on the outside who are rallying, who are there for them, who know that they're there, who and it gives them a feeling, right, of not being alone. And it's really powerful when you go to a protest outside of a detention center, because obviously you have no physical contact with the people inside, but you'll hear them bang on the windows, you'll hear the lights flickering on and off. And that's kind of their way of communicating back to us, like, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you for being here.
So what is happening in other parts of the country? Can you just give us a sense of how big this action is nationally? Is it happening on the same day in different parts of the country or different days?
It's happening on the same day around the country. There were about 24 different cities. Everyone is on this calling for the closing of the camps. That is the primary request. And an end to the harassment and terrorization against indigenous communities and immigrant communities and migrants. That is the national call.
Is there a website where people can find out if a city near them is holding such an action?
There is a website, and I don't have that right in front of me.
Closethecamps.us?
Yes, thank you.
Closethecamps.us, and there's a map there, and there are actions happening, if you look at the map, all across the country in many, many cities that people can participate in. We're focusing on Los Angeles, where this program is based, and where my guests, Jenny Villegas-Garcia and Tanya Kane-Parry, are based. Let's talk a little bit about specifically what it's going to take to make this happen, to close down these camps. Right now, we're in the middle of these impeachment inquiries in Washington, D.C. Many have argued that Trump's family separation policies and general treatment of immigrants ought to be considered an impeachable offense. What do you think, Jenny?
I agree 100%. This is somebody who has basically caused the death and the separation of hundreds of individuals. And we know that family separation is still happening. Even if the zero tolerance policy is not in effect, we see family separation happening at the border all of the time. Because of these new changes in asylum law, many times a family will be split. So half of the family will be allowed to fight their case inside the US, the other half will be returned to Mexico. We see sometimes minors coming with their grandparents or their aunts and uncles who are their primary caregivers and their legal guardians, but because they're not their parents, they're separated from them. And so we're continuing to see these things happen, and they're atrocious human rights violations, and he should be held accountable for all of that. Mm-hmm.
Tanya, I understand that the coalitions that are formed for these Close the Camps actions on Saturday are quite broad and quite diverse. Can you give us a sense of the participation of various communities, you know, as I said, coming before, right before Indigenous Peoples Day, are Indigenous communities or organizations involved as well?
Yes, we have several Indigenous communities involved, and they are also going to be doing an opening land acknowledgement ceremony at the very beginning of this event. It is important that we remember the land that we are on and the people who were here, and that we honor that, particularly on this weekend. But this is also related to the bigger attempts to literally whitewash our country, to go after Black, Brown, and Native bodies and prevent them from being full citizens and having the same rights as full citizens. We demand that everyone be treated and given the full rights and opportunities. And so there is a coalitions from Black Lives Matters, Black Alliance for Just Immigration, MECHA, student organizations, critical resistance, unions, labor unions, United Teachers Labor, California Faculty Association. We all share this commitment to the full rights of everyone here and the end of the criminalization and absolute terrorization happening, not only within the immediate migrant community, but across all communities that have been marginalized historically in this country.
What are the political steps that you hope will result from the actions you take on Saturday? There are some members of Congress, particularly among those who have just been elected to office and are not as beholden as others to the for-profit detention industry, who have said, who have used the term concentration camps and who have said that the camps need to shut down, that we need to abolish ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency, or as well the Customs and Border Patrol. What are the political actions specifically that you would like to see Congress take in order to hold these companies accountable and expose what's happening inside them? I mean, there have been hearings in Capitol Hill, of people like acting Homeland Security Secretary Kevin McAleenan and others, former Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen, to confront what they have overseen within the immigration or anti-immigrant policies of the Trump administration. So spell out, if you can, the political process you hope will happen.
Yeah, so this action is actually happening right before the Appropriations Committee begins to hear the budget for the upcoming year. And so we know every year that there is an increase in the amount of money that we give to DHS to continue to do this. To continue to open more detention beds, more detention centers, to increase the number of ICE officers and CBP agents. And we know that that's something that the Republican Party is going to be pushing during this appropriations fight as well. And so we want to make our clients really clear that we're demanding that our congressional representatives do not allow for any more money to be given to DHS. They've already received an increase in funding for this year, as well as additional supplementary funding. And so they really don't need any more money. So we want to make sure not only do they not allow any more of our taxpayer dollars to go to this department, but that they also start holding this department accountable and actually putting in writing things that they have to report on. Because right now there is zero accountability. DHS is like a rogue organization that basically does whatever they want to do, because there is just no systems that have been put in place to hold them accountable. Mm-hmm. And so we need Congress to be stronger on that front, not only to withhold money from the department, but also to start setting up those accountability processes.
And now, I'd like to add locally, one of the call to actions for the local rally in March is also in regards to our new sheriff, Alex Villanueva. Alex ran on a campaign that he promised not to collaborate with ICE, as opposed to the previous sheriff. And I voted for him based on that campaign. And I've spoken to a lot of people who also voted for him. And he has done the opposite. He has absolutely gone against his campaign promise.
And this has been the case in various cities, that law enforcement officials who do not have to cooperate with ICE choose to.
Exactly. And so part of the immediate local political action is a call to confront the sheriff on this and that he end the collaboration with ICE as he promised.
What about the border wall that Trump has staked his reelection on and has moved money from other projects into Homeland Security's coffers in order to fund? Do you see that border wall as symbolically part of the same oppressive policies that have targeted vulnerable immigrants?
100%. And it is exactly that. I think it's very symbolic because with the wall or without the wall, like, Trump has created already a wall. Like, he has already made it so difficult and impossible for these people to seek refuge that a physical wall isn't necessary. People are already being barred from entering. In addition to the money that's also being sent to the Mexican government to militarize their border with Guatemala. And so we're seeing Mexico itself become a wall. We're seeing Central America itself become a wall. We know now that there's a border patrol in El Salvador that the U.S. is funding. We know now that there's a detention center in Guatemala City that the U.S. is helping them build. And so these things are happening. So this wall is already being created. But the one that he wants to build at our southern border is definitely also symbolic of that violence.
Last words before we end our conversation that you would like to say to those of our viewers and listeners in Southern California, Tanya, who could perhaps come out and join you on Saturday.
Whether you are directly affected or not, everyone needs to know your tax dollars are going to privately funded concentration camps. These camps make $150 a day on every single person warehoused. That's your tax dollars, $150 a day. Imagine that going into your schools, into your roads, into your hospitals, into green energies. Imagine that going to help people who are seeking refuge rather than into privately run companies. These are your money. Get out there and let it be clearly known. This is not how you want your money spent.
So Grand Park in Los Angeles, 11 a.m. this Saturday, and various other cities around the country that people can find out. If you are outside of the Los Angeles area, you can go to closethecamps.us to find an action near you. Jenny and Tanya, thank you both so much for joining us.
Thank you.
My guests have been Jenny Villegas Garcia, an organizer at the Central American Resource Center of Caresen, and Tanya Kane Parry, professor of theater at Cal State LA and a member of Al Otro Lado. We've been discussing this Saturday's Close the Camps actions in cities around the U.S. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, subscribe to our video channel on Vimeo, and find our audio podcast on iTunes and now Spotify.